Welcome to today's show. You're listening to Mantra on CATR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name's Raghunath, and I'll be here with you for the next hour. And today's show is going to be more interviews from the previous few months, from this summer's various festivals. Last week, we did the first part of the interviews from Wanderlust Whistler Festival, which was in September of this year. And today, we're continuing with interviews from there, interviews featuring Kia Miller and also Chantal Johnson, and music interspersed in there too. I'm going to start off with a bit of music, with a track from DJ Drez's new release entitled Chanting with Tigers, another in his Giotto Beat series. And the track is entitled Satcha Sutra, and also features Masood Ali Khan on Hung Drum. And what you're going to hear chanted in there in Sanskrit, this is coming from the Mundaka Upanishad, one of the many books coming from ancient India that make up the Vedic literature. Satchameva Jayate Nanlitam Satchena Pranta Vitato Devayanaha is the first part of that full mantra. I think only the first line is chanted in this song. The full verse from the Upanishad translates as, "Truth alone triumphs, not falsehood. Through truth the divine path is spread out, by which the sages whose desires have been completely fulfilled reach where that supreme treasure of truth resides." So without further ado, we're going to hear that track right now. This is DJ Drez featuring Masood Ali Khan on Hung Drum and Satcha Sutra. We'll be right back after this just to start the interviews. Listen to Mantra on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Yeah.
That was DJ Draz with Sacha Sutra, and we're just going to play a couple of public service announcements and then get into the interviews.
Media Democracy Days presents their fifth annual fundraising Concert Democracy Loud, taking place Thursday, October 17th and 2013 at the Railway Club, doors at 8 p.m. Funds raised go to support media reform and democratization in Canada. The event features three local bands and great prizes. Tickets are $10.
So hot.
For more information, visit therailwayclub.com and look under events.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
So we have two interviews to present to you today. The first one is with Kia Miller, and she grew up in the Falkland Islands and then moved to England, got into her yoga practice, and since then has been studying and teaching all over the world, such places as India, Europe. And I believe she's based in the United States right now, in California. And she has one of her projects is entitled Radiant Body Yoga. And just from her own description of what that is, it's an incorporation of the transformational possibilities of Kundalini Yoga and the challenging and technical precision of Ashtanga and Iyengar Yoga, and the power of prayer, mantra, and meditation. It's like a combination of those aspects. And we were at Wanderlust Festival in Whistler in September. We got a chance to chat with her just after a class that she had done with Suzanne Sterling, who we heard from last week, an interview with her. So in this interview, we're going to basically go through different segments in music and combine, create a bit of a flow for you. She's going to talk about her journey and just coming into her Kundalini practice and mantra, the role of mantra, the role of intention, chanting within a group setting, the idea of the process of having a learning from teachers and then sharing that knowledge with others, and also just touching briefly on a possible global shift in consciousness that we may be seeing as people adopt these different practices that bring them a little bit more connected to themselves, their higher selves, and to the planet and everyone and everything. So we're going to start off with just her talking a little bit about how she came into her practice. I hope you enjoy this segment. We'll flow through the whole part with Kia Miller, and then we'll break before we get into the next interview segment. You're listening to Mantra on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. So I'm here with Kia Miller.
Yes.
At Wanderlust Whistler. How did you come to the practice that you're doing now? Would you consider yourself foremost to be a Kundalini yogi? Is that your main practice?
It is my main practice, because of just how transformational it's been in my life. I practice vinyasa flow, and that's definitely a lot of what I do, but the real transformation I found has come through breath and mantra integrated with the postures.
What is the having asana or posture as part of the process of chanting, or chanting in specific postures? How does that change the experience?
Well, it can change where you direct the sound, that's for one, and you can direct the sound either in a posture by bringing a particular muscular energy to that area, and you can direct it obviously with your attention as well. And so that way you can use the sound and you can use the body as this chamber to resonate the sound in, and the different shapes create a slightly different a shape of the container, you could say. So that has an effect. And so what we did quite a lot today was we explored using different postures and sounds to affect the different energy centers or chakras.
With Suzanne Sterling, and she was talking a bit about intention,
yes,
or bringing intention into chanting. So what for you, what does that look like, having intention there as part of the process?
Well, because I think that intention is really the energy that manifests within the sound. So, you know, we can say a certain sound, but we can have a different intention underneath. But what you'll usually find is, you know, just for example, if you're talking to somebody and they say something nice, but you really know that they don't mean that, that there's something deeper going on, I think it goes the same with mantra. When you infuse it with an intention, and for me, I think the most powerful intention is just that of devotion. You know, of that the longing that we all feel to connect with the greater consciousness, to infuse the sound with that kind of longing. To me, that's the greatest doorway into experiencing that which we're longing for.
Quite often when we chant, we do it with other people. So what do you think that setting of having a group and doing this together, what does that bring into the experience?
It brings so much. My teacher used to say that it only takes one person in the group to be connected, and everybody is connected on that same frequency. So if you visualize us all as having, you know, our own magnetic fields, and when we get into a group of people, our magnetic fields grow because we have a group magnetic field as well as a single one. So the same goes with sound then. When we're chanting and our sound meets the sound of everybody else, the sound gets more powerful and the vibratory frequency is just much vaster. So it's such a potent way to practice, to come together.
what is for you the difference of waking up so early at, you know, 3:30 or 4 a.m. and doing sadhana or practice at that time?
For me, it's vastly different. The quality of my attention is significantly different that early in the morning. They say, you know, it's easier to connect with the energy of the saints and the energy of the subtlety, and that's what I find. If I leave my practice till later in the day, it's like all the psychic energy of the rest of the world is awake, and I feel so much of that in my practice. Whereas if I practice early, the time just is not the same. It's like this doorway opens and I'm in an expanded space. And I could be sitting there for 2.5 hours chanting, and it doesn't feel like that. It feels like 30 minutes have gone by. But if I try that in the busyness of the day, and I can hear the sounds, and I can feel the thoughts of everybody, you know, around, then every minute is painful.
Yeah.
So that's been my experience.
Obviously, you have ties to a certain tradition and you've studied in a certain lineage. What is the process of wanting to, of having that experience and then feeling like wanting to come to something like Wanderlust and actually share that with a wider audience?
Well, it's funny because I used to bounce around and try all kinds of different traditions, and then I started Kundalini Yoga and I had these big personal shifts and awakenings, and so I just made a decision back then that I would stay focused on this path, just the idea of rather master one path than become, you know, whatever it is, there's a phrase that they say.
Well, I used to call it the jack of all trades.
Right, exactly. So that's really what I've done to gain some level of mastery and grasp of what this path has to offer, and then from that perspective look around and, you know, maybe look at where this path is similar to others, and just to see how interconnected all of the paths really are, guiding us to the same place. But for me personally, at least, it's been really beneficial to choose a path and walk down that path, and therefore feel like I actually can share from my own experience, because I've made that choice and I've had experience with it. And so that's the joy for me of coming to this place. And then on the other side, so that's the joy for me as a teacher. Then on the flip side, I find it really interesting to come to a place like Wanderlust and just see what other people are doing and where their joy and inspiration is coming from and the tools and techniques that have worked for them. So Wanderlust becomes this just incredible melting pot of all of these different traditions coming together from people who have spent hours, you know, in committed practice, in the discipline of that practice, and the joy and the freedom that comes from that. So it's a real joy to come here.
If we look back just before, you know, the 70s and the 60s, these practices weren't really present in the West outside of places like India. Do you think this is reflective of something, some kind of shift that's going on, perhaps?
I do, indeed. I think there's a collective consciousness shift where we are collectively awakening to different awarenesses of who we are, other than just beings who work and eat and make families. It's like of our spiritual nature. And I do think that the internet has a lot to do with this awakening as well, because if you think about it, just, what, 30 years ago, if you wanted to learn yoga, you had to travel thousands of miles to maybe learn one specific little technique, whereas today, I can Google pretty much anything, and I can find it online, or a version of it. So I think what's important for us now is that we do the kind of practice that can help us to awaken our intuitive capacity to know which choices to make. Because in this information age with so many choices, how do we align ourselves with the right choice for us in that moment? So that's what I'm sharing a lot in my teaching these days, is how do we use the practice to develop our intuitive mind so that the information is not overwhelming, but it's supportive of our path. I have a website, kiamiller.com, and everything I'm doing is on there. I have a teacher training coming up in Rishikesh in March next year, from the 8th through the 30th of March. It's a Kundalini-based training, and I chose Rishikesh because when I got there this last time, I just felt the energy of the centuries of dedicated students of yoga, of life, of consciousness, and I just thought, wow, what better place to immerse oneself in the experience of yoga than Rishikesh? So that's where my teacher training is happening. And I also teach online at Yoga Glow primarily, but also My Yoga Online, which is a Canadian company. And so there's opportunities to practice with me there, and Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Was Chevy Sabah remixing the Moon Mantra? I originally recorded the original recording by Snut & Core, and the words in Gurumukhi, Ekankar Satnam Karata Puruk Nirbo Nirvaya Akala Murat Ajini Saiban Gur Prasad. Translates as, well, one translation, rough translation: one universal creator God, the supreme unchangeable truth, creator of the universe beyond fear, beyond hatred, beyond death, beyond birth, self-existent, revealed by Guru's grace. And that was written by Guru Nanak, the founder of the Sikh tradition, that whole lineage. And it's a text that appears several times in the Guru Granth Sahib. We're going to move on to the next interview from Wanderlust Whistler, done earlier this year in September. And we're going to hear from Chantal Johnson. And she's a well, she's going to tell her own story actually in the course of this interview. But she was actually present at the festival with her mother also, Sharon. Both of them are yoga teachers, meditation instructors. And in the course of this interview, we're going to hear just a little bit about how she came into doing what she's doing and some of her experiences with chanting, talking a little bit about Dharma and why she teaches, and also a walkthrough on the meditation, if we have time. It's a longer segment, just explaining the meditation technique that she teaches, or at least that she was teaching at the festival. But we're going to start that interview right now. Here is Chantal Johnson talking about her journey into yoga and meditation.
Well, I started my studies after high school down in LA, which was completely very opposite lifestyle of what I lead now. And just becoming immersed in that world, I think, brought me to my edge, and I knew what my truth was, and I couldn't deny it anymore. And it wasn't to follow what everyone else was doing and to be a part of, you know, say the party scene, or just hanging out at the beach or going shopping. Like, I had this drive, this longing to connect with something deeper than that. And I couldn't figure out what it was for a long time. But a girlfriend of mine introduced me to this yoga studio, and I had been practicing on and off since I was 15, so about 10 years now. But she, with the introduction to that studio, really brought me into developing my asana practice more. And from that, I got this authentic impulse to want to meditate and to want to explore that. And that became sort of my outlet for dealing with all of the other stuff that I didn't really feel connected to. And that longing, that I don't want to call it a void, because I don't look at meditation as something that fills that void, but I think that longing to remember who we were was, I was brought to being reminded of who I was through the aspects of meditation and yoga. And yeah, just those different life experiences brought me to stop searching outside of myself for the answer, because when I kept doing that, those things that brought happiness could also bring me pain. And those things that brought fulfillment at one time could be taken away from me and bring the opposite of that. So I started to look inward, because that's the only thing that is constant within my life, is the thing that's inside of me. And through that, I just fell in love with the practice of it, and that really helped me to stay grounded, and I just noticed a lightness in my being, and just a lightheartedness, and this impulse to play and to explore that world more and more. So yeah, just different things bringing me to my edge.
With chanting specifically,
that's a big one, because I love to sing, but I'm afraid to, because I'm afraid of what other people think. And I have been, but I'm slowly, even still, climbing out of that shell and that box. But doing call and response stuff at the studio that I was first introduced to, and then doing different chakra toning exercises. And my sister went through a really great workshop that she shared with me, and it's using the different notes from octave to octave. So there's 13 notes, and holding them with your partner at different times and feeling the vibration within you, and just getting into your voice, allowing that to resonate at the pit of your belly. And so now I've done different workshops and different yoga classes that are paired with, you know, inviting that huh into your exhales, or bringing sounds into your movement, which I think for me, it just invites more play into my life, really. And it allows me to be more comfortable with my voice and with expressing myself, which has in turn allowed me to feel more comfortable in my own skin, which is just nice to feel, you know? Yeah. anything that is manifested through creativity is a direct channel of source energy. And voice and sound is, you know, when we create, when we express vocally and we allow that to flow, like, that's just spirit speaking and coming out of us. And I think with these practices, ironically, we can allow ourselves to get out of the way rather than become more invested in it, so that we can let that be a direct channel, our voice. You know, and you see that with people that, like, their dharma is to sing, or even just to chant and not necessarily sing and make, you know, stereotypical music. I put that in quotations. But, yeah, just to express that spirit manifesting through our voice. Going down just to the root of it first, dharma is a Sanskrit word meaning purpose, or purpose in life. And so I look at each one of us as having a whole bunch of dharmas throughout our life. We have a whole bunch of different things that we are here, that we are meant to be doing, I think. And throughout our life, our dharma changes. And each one of us, there's almost, what, 8 billion people on the planet? Each one of us has a different and unique set of gifts and talents that is completely individual and magic on its own from everybody else's. And with that unique set of gifts and talents, when those are aligned with the needs of the planet, you come into flow with your dharma. It's that space where you lose sense of time. You're just in it. You know when people are there, like, they can run for hours, or they play music and all of a sudden a day has gone by and they're like, what? It's like when food or water, like, none of that is in your awareness. You're just doing what you're meant to be doing, whether that be playing your music or painting. And so, yeah, I think all of this work, the sounds, just getting to the truth of who you are, allows you to open up to the possibility of your own expression of your dharma. Like, what is that? And yeah, it's your purpose. It's why you're here. It's why we're all here. And I think that a big part of that too is that we don't have to find our dharma. Our dharma is within us. It's whether we're able to listen to that little voice inside of us and to be guided by the feelings in our body so that we are expressing our dharma, rather than externally trying to find it, because it's already there. It's just up to us whether we allow that to flow or not. Practices and the stuff that I do through the Chopra Center, if no one was here on this planet, I would do them, right? But I would do them regardless of being recognized for doing them or regardless of teaching, because it's become my truth. And I think that's really important, is to find what works for you and to live a life from a place of authenticity. And from that, I've been given the opportunity to, I've been asked to teach with the center in Vancouver and to share that. and to invite people into the things that bring me joy and bring me back to that place of truth, and to be able to share that and for people to want to know what that is, I think that's a really beautiful place to be in. And knowing that, like, I don't have anything figured out, right? Like, I know just as much or as little as the next person. But being honest about that and being like, well, these are the things that guide me back to my truth, and I'll share them with you, and you can take them or leave them. And it's really powerful to see people, you know, gravitate to things that do or do not work for them, but to the things that do work for them, and see them being able to shine a little bit brighter. Because I've done a lot of work with this stuff, and I've experienced shitty life experiences that has brought me to, you know, take these teachings even more deeper into my life. And inviting people into the joy that I feel now at a place of being centered from all of this is just so amazing. Because I can't... You won't know what honey tastes like until you try it. I can describe it to you, but until you take a lick of it off your spoon, you're not going to really know what it tastes like. So describing the teachings to everybody, they can get a sense of it, but once I start to teach and to bring people into that practice, it's like they're really tasting it, and they're able to get a feel for it for themselves, and it becomes, you know, they change it and they modify it to their own unique expression, which is really beautiful. And for me to know that they have the possibility of experiencing a little fraction or maybe what I experience in their own unique way, like, that just brings me so much joy. I'm like, oh my God, this is so beautiful that I can share that with you. And I feel as though from being able to share that, like, give a life of service, that's what my life has become. And it's sort of played out in giving service, as in volunteering to teach, or in teaching as a profession, and guiding people into the pure potential of what they're capable of, and in seeing their light shine a little bit brighter. So it's, yeah, the joy that it brings me to invite people into that joy and see the joy that it brings them. It's just this really beautiful positive flow of karmic reaction and of giving and receiving love and feeling connected and supported with each other.
We're back. You're listening to Mantra on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. So that was an interview with Chantal Johnson that was done at Wanderlust Festival in Whistler in September. And before that, earlier on, we heard from Kia Miller and music in there from various people, including the Desert Dwellers, Omik Project, Sal versus Cali Frogs, Nuage, Solar Fields, and at the beginning, DJ Drez, and kicking things off as the intro, Adam Shake with Ohm Transfix Mix. We've got one last track to play and some announcements to make. I think I'll do the announcements right now. First off, I should announce that coming up tonight at Chakra Wellness Center, which is at 708 West 16th, it's around 16th and Heather in Vancouver, there's going to be a cacao ceremony being held, which focuses on the water element and the second chakra. So that starts at 7 o'clock, asking to be there by 6:45 p.m. That's tonight, Chakra Wellness Center, 16th and Heather. Cacao ceremony. And then also tomorrow night will be Just Dance in Vancouver. Happens every second Friday. So it's Friday, October the 11th at West 4th and Arbutus at the Russian Center there. And it's only $12 from 9 to 12. And DJ Abiru is going to be DJing the whole 3-hour journey. Also a Kundalini meditation from 7:30 to 8:30, which is free. You can drop in for that at the same location if you would like to take part in that before the dance. And then also on Saturday, Enchant will be happening at Unity Yoga and Tea House. That's at East 10th and Commercial Drive. Some kirtan, some chanting from 6 p.m. on. That's by donation. That's at Unity Yoga Tea House, East 10th and Commercial Drive on Saturday night. And the name of the gathering is called Enchant. And then also one last announcement coming up on October the 27th. That's a bit of a ways away, but I said I would announce it, and we'll announce it again closer to the date. The Shanti Mala Collective will be doing a chanting workshop and satsang in celebration of Diwali with lots of fun stuff going on. That's going to be free, but donations of $5 would be appreciated for that. That'll be at the International House at 1785 West Mall in Vancouver. And more information about that, you can Google Shanti Mala Collective. So that's about it, I think, for announcements. Yeah, I have a public service announcement that I have to play right now, and then we'll be right back to close the show with the last track.
$1 billion on the ground, all stretched out and uncurled, would extend about 4 times around the circumference of the world.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Commercial Drive area at
Bone Rattle Music Limited, High Life Records, and People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or online at citr.ca.
Well, thanks for tuning in today. I hope that you enjoyed the interview segments and some of the music that was played. You can check out on the internet mantraradio.co. And we'll be back next Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. here on CITR. Next week we'll be interview with MC Yogi as well as music from him, and also interviews with the organizers of Wanderlust Festival, and some of the stuff thrown in there for good measure. Also, last track is going to be the Martyrs of Sound. That would be Steve Koch and Sarah Wiseman from Independence Argon, along with friends helping out on that as well, that project as well. The track is entitled Beautiful, and it's from their release Red Haze Dream from earlier this year. Hope you enjoy. See you next week. Take care of yourselves. Till then, namaste.
Show off this.